If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Malik Scoop Carney joins us, fresh off signing with the Edmonton Elks. I gotta ask you though, can you tell the people how you got the name Scoop?
Yeah, man, I got it back in high school, man. Long story short, man, we had a running back who was giving us hell this day, man. He probably had like 500 yards in practice just rushing. And coach called a play where we met between the tackles and I boom, scooped him and dropped him in. And one of my teammates was just hyping me up. Oh, Scoop, you scooped him, Scoop, Scoop, scooped him. And then it just became Scoop from there on.
I like it, man. It's really catchy. It's stuck with you well. You've been scooping up quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League, and that's led to you becoming the highest paid American defensive player in the CFL's salary cap era. How does that sound to you, Scoop?
That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. But man, I'm just fortunate to be able to do what I do, play this game, and take care of my family, man.
How did the free agent process play out for you? Obviously, there was a lot of people in Rider Nation that were hoping that you might potentially re-sign in Saskatchewan to try to go back-to-back, but not to be. You end up in Edmonton. So take us behind the scenes and what led to your decision to join the Elks.
Man, it was an easy decision. Just a high interest in the Elks, and not only the Elks, it was other teams, man. But, I just narrowed it down to just like the coaching staff. I felt like Edmonton was the best fit, schematically, roster wise, and just looking at the offense. I feel like their offense was very explosive, man. And, they just feel that I was a piece that, that can come in and help impact the season. And I'm just grateful that I'm able in this position to be able to, be named that.
Did you make a decision early on in the free agent process that you yourself were deciding you weren't going to go back to Saskatchewan?
No, man, it was honestly 50-50, man. I had other teams showing a lot of interest and was really undecided until, it was time to make a decision. And again, I just felt like Edmonton was the best fit, man. Just the coaching staff over there, knowing the front office, the personnel, and also knowing a few guys who was already here on the team. And it was just like, yo, it's an easy decision.
When you said some other teams were interested, can you share the teams that you talked to through the process?
I won't disclose that. I was just so.
That's okay. And in terms of winning the Grey Cup with the Riders, 3Down Nation, our photographer Ruben, was able to get some great shots of you in the locker room celebrating, really soaking it all in. What was that feeling like to hoist the Grey Cup in green and white?
And it was amazing. It was amazing, man, just being in that environment, celebrating with the guys from all the work, the hard blood, sweat, and tears that you put on the field, that you put in every day, man. And you know, at that moment, you're splashing champagne, you're throwing champagne on guys, man, and we're just having fun, just soaking it all up, because, you know, at the end of the day, man, that's what we work for. And to be able to say, like, yo, we got the mission completed, not too many people can say that, man. And, you know, we're all fortunate to be able to host that Grey Cup up.
You joined Saskatchewan and seemed to really flourish in Corey Mace's system as a versatile chess piece. He was moving you all over that defense like a queen on a chessboard, man. You were in so many different spots. I remember watching the coach's tape. I believe it was from Labor Day. First five snaps of the game, Scoop, you were in five different positions. How do you go about being able to do that?
Wow, I didn't even notice that. But, man, just being versatile, man. Coming out of high school, I played running back and linebacker. And just going back a little further, man, when I was in middle school, I had a 7-inch growth spurt. So before that time, I was a skilled player, very athletic, you know, shifty. And I just grew 7 inches and was like 6'2 in middle school and just been 6'3 since then. But, man, just being able to be versatile, man, showing my skill set, man, I'm grateful for Corey Mace, man, just believing in me and being able to put me in those positions to, you know, utilize me and show my skill set and also help the team win, man. So, It was just amazing just that he was just, you know, he believed that much in me to put me in those different positions.
For all the youngsters out there, how can you help them get a 7-inch growth spurt?
Sleep and eat your vegetables, man. Nah, I feel like it was all genetics, man. I don't know. Just by the grace of God, I just grew.
Sleep and veggies could potentially help too, right?
Sure.
Were you a receiver back before the growth spurt?
No, I played running back. I had a short, spurt at receiver. Wasn't too comfortable at there, man. And then I ended up playing running back. And then, but I had a defensive mindset. So defense, linebacker was my primary position. And I was elusive enough and quick enough and had to, you know, to get away speed to play running back. And, you know, high school, you kind of play a lot of positions. And if you're a guy, you play offense and defense. And that was the situation. And, you know, at the end of the day, I had a defensive mindset. So I ended up going to North Carolina to be a linebacker, and everything took off from there.
Then when did you transition to playing exclusively defensive line?
When I got to Chapel Hill, we had a position called a bandit, which was a 3-4 defense, you know, that outside linebacker rolling down, playing that defensive end position, rushing off the edge. And, you know, Gene Chizik came in and, you know, he was just stuck on me playing that position. And, you know, I had to bulk up a little bit, get some weight, and everything just took off from there, man. Thanks to Gene Chizik for believing me and putting me in that position.
And then how did you end up hearing about the CFL and ultimately deciding to come play professional football in Canada?
I mean, I always knew about the CFL from afar. You know, when things started to slow down in the NFL, I still loved the game. I wanted to play, man. So I wanted to, you know, come up to the CFL and just show the people what I got, man, and end up staying here and loving it.
You've been producing at a high level as well, including coming off a single season career high, 8 sacks with the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the aforementioned Corey Mace's defensive scheme. Why were you able to get after the quarterback, not only taking them down, obviously that's the goal, but your pressure rate, I believe, was number one in the league in terms of QB pressure, Scoop. How were you able to keep that up so consistently?
Man, just relentlessness. Just being relentless and just going after the quarterback, man, just the effort And a lot of it is film study, man. Just I don't want to give away my tips and keys, man, but film study, man, just looking at the offensive tackles, the quarterback, the snap counts, the cadence, situational football, man, what's the down and distance. So just honing in on the little details, right, to put me in an edge to be able to defeat, those blockers, man, and get to the quarterback. So it's about the quarterback, man, at the end of the day. So if I'm able to get to him, man, you know, it's not always about sacks, but if I'm able to force a terrible throw or hurry up his clocking or his timing, that's the pressures that count, right? And those turn into picks, interceptions, and then, you know, eventually I get my sacks, man. But it's all about being disruptive up front and getting to the quarterback.
You played against Cody Fajardo when he was the starting quarterback with the Edmonton Elks, I believe, two times last year. The first one, he came to Saskatchewan. The second one, the Elks actually beat the Riders later in the season. What was it like to rush him? And then from that experience and seeing what he could do leading that team, did that help you want to sign there?
Yeah, man, definitely watching Cody from afar, man. I believe in his talents, man. You know, he was in Montreal getting it done, and I know that he still, you know, is very capable of getting it done, man. And that was another part of me coming to the Elks, man, just my belief in Cody and the offense that he, you know, can be so explosive in and lead that offense to score points, man, and then win. So, you know, just honing in on everything and just looking at the whole schematics of where I was wanting to go and would be the best fit. That part was definitely, a plus, when deciding to come to the Elks.
After the season was over, you had the Grey Cup celebrations in the locker room in Winnipeg that carried over to the parade in Regina. And then you shift focus to your free agent process. What were some of the top, let's call them checkboxes, that you wanted to check off in terms of the decision-making process for where you would sign with next?
I would say first and foremost was scheme, right? Is it a scheme that a fit, to my abilities and win, right? Do we have an opportunity to win as a contender team? Well, what's the roster like? All right, is there guys who I know who can, you know, help me and I can help them, right? And just watching those guys, I did a lot of studying on their defensive line and their defense. And I'm honestly very impressed. You know, sometimes the numbers don't always reflect, how good you are. And I think that was the situation for them guys last year, man. But I know that they got something special there, man. And just being here and just being in this environment, haven't met all the guys yet, but I'm eager to build that brotherhood, that camaraderie, and get things going in training camp, man. But I feel very strongly about what we got going on here.
How integral was J.C. Sherritt, the defensive coordinator, in the process to bring you to Edmonton?
I really didn't have too much communication with him, but I know who he is. You know who I am. It wasn't really too much of like talking to J.C., because, again, like we have a relationship. I know what he's about. I know what he stands for, you know, his principles and how he likes to run things. Right. So just knowing him when we was in Sask and how he likes to draw things up schematic wise. And I just knew like, yeah, that's a coach I definitely love to play for.
Ed Hervey has gone on the record and said he's not afraid to spend money, which he clearly did with you. Was he a draw and really one of the main factors to pull you into Edmonton?
We definitely, had conversations and we was, in the midst of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business decision, right? So I had to weigh all my options, man. And having that relationship with Ed, you know, it was a plus, but it was more than just having that relationship with him. It was about the best fit for, you know, not only myself, but for my family, right? And, as a man, we live to provide and protect. And, I'm just fortunate to be able to be in this place, in this spot, in my career, you know, to where I can do that for my family.
How do you envision yourself being used in the defense, or shall I say flourishing in J.C. Sherritt's scheme?
I don't want to give away too much, man, but I can only imagine me being somewhat used, similar to how I was used the last couple of years in Saskatchewan. Maybe more different packages, different looks, right? So just to throw offenses off, but also having that green light to go be who I am as a pass rusher, right? And that was the whole thing about coming to the Elks.
What was it like for you to have to say goodbye to some of your Saskatchewan Roughriders teammates that you won a Grey Cup with?
Man, it was tough, man. It was tough. But at the end of the day, you know, it was business, right? And we had to make the best decisions for ourselves and our family. Those last couple years, man, build a brotherhood, you know, some of those guys that'll last forever. And then that's what's unique about this game, right? It's not the football. It's not the money. It's the relationships you build, right, that last a lifetime. And that's what it's about, right? So I'm grateful for the boys that I spent the last 2 years with over there in Sask.
Take me behind the scenes, Scoop. And what I mean is the human element to free agency. I think a lot of fans look at a star name and they want their team to add that player. But you had been in Saskatchewan, as you just said, for a couple seasons, clearly comfortable there in Regina, knew the scheme. But then there's off the field, like you're comfortable in the city with your surroundings. So from you and your family's standpoint, how do you get comfortable moving on from Saskatchewan and settling in Edmonton?
See, that's the thing, right? When you're comfortable, right, things can get tricky, right? Because sometimes when you're comfortable, being comfortable is not always the best situation. And just speaking on free agency, I know a lot of fans, you know, have questions and wonder how things go down. It's not always what it seems, right? So not diving too much into that. And I would have loved to have been back in Sask, but it just didn't play out that way, right? And when you have a great opportunity to further your career and do, you know, bigger and better things, you're going to take those opportunities. And signing with the Elks, I feel like that was the best opportunity for me to further my career, win another Grey Cup, and build another brotherhood with the guys.
And how, from a family standpoint specifically, can you get, I don't want to say comfortable there because I'm with you, you always want to be getting better, but at least settled and rooted in Edmonton, that's a new city for you and your family?
I think something like that just takes time, right? Getting comfortable, understanding the guys, and learning the community, getting involved with the community, and also just being yourself, right? I don't think that I would have picked this place if I didn't feel like I would have those things available. So, I mean, again, it takes time, man. Come training camp, you're learning the guys and just building that camaraderie and everything to take care of itself from there on out.
Was Edmonton the clear choice as you went through the process? Like, did it ultimately become an easy decision to sign with the Elks?
Early on, it was very 50-50, back and forth, you know, from a few teams. And, you know, as we got closer, things just started to get easier and easier. Once you look at, again, all of the things I've mentioned, the roster, you know, the guys, explosive guys on offense, defensive guys who play physical, who play together. Excuse me. So, I mean, it was just, you know, a lot of that, the combination of those things, man, you just take in consideration and you just try to make the best decision that you can.
Were there any players already with Edmonton that you had played with before or perhaps had known from connections off the field?
So I known of Tamari Fox. I played with his older brother, Tamal Fox, in UNC. I remember Tamari when he was coming out of high school, early middle school, when he would come to the UNC camps and where he earned a scholarship. Also I know of Noah Taylor, UVA guy, but ended up transferring to UNC. And I visit back to UNC, and then I met him there. We built a connection from there, and things just kind of took off from there. But knowing Woody, knowing Jordan, those guys over in Hamilton, played with those guys, man. And so when I saw those guys getting signed, I was like, yes, man, we building something for real over here, man. So, man, coming to the season, man, I know we're gonna do some special things, but we're gonna shock the league with this one.
There are a lot of former Tiger Cats over there in Edmonton, you obviously being one of them. How much does that familiarity and, I guess, trust in people like Ed Hervey and Spencer Zimmerman help in a free agency process like this?
Man, it's great, man. When you got guys who going to fight and claw with you out there, man, it's definitely, a blessing to have those guys on the team. So when we all linked up at Edmonton and we got together, it was like, man, let's do it. We know what we're doing. We know what we got here. It's going to be a special one. So, man, it's going to, again, like, just going back, it's going to start in training camp, competing, being physical, getting getting each other ready, right? Iron sharpen iron. So I know the guys over there on the offensive line, they got their blades sharpened. And I know over here on the defensive line, we got our blades sharpened, man. So it's going to be a, you know, it's going to be a sore fight, but it's going to be a controlled sore fight. So we all healthy and we all healthy come beginning of the season.
When the negotiation window opened, were the Elks the first team to call right at noon Eastern time?
No, actually it was not. But they were one of the teams, you know, that reached out and we started negotiating and, you know, things took off from there.
And how did that process play out behind the scenes? And I say it because I was talking to AJ Allen. He said he talked to Sean Burke and Ryan Dinwiddie and William Fields in Ottawa, and they made him feel wanted. So who did you talk to during the negotiation window, and how did it make you feel about Edmonton?
I talked to a lot. At that point, I talked to a lot of guys. I talked to Ed, talked to Spence, communicate with JC a little bit. To kind of talk to the whole organization and, brief calls, just, you know, they were showing their interest and their excitement. And then, with me, if I was, to come there and just kind of paint the picture of what it would be like, with me, coming to Edmonton, man. And it wasn't really too much convincing because I was already convinced myself just from the roster and the coaching staff and the personnel that they have over there that it'll be a great fit.
Did you hear from some of the marquee players as well, like Cody Fajardo, for example?
Actually, no, man. No players actually reached out at that point in time, man. But once it went public, a lot of guys reached out and was, congratulating me and, sending texts and DMs and Instagram and like, let's work, let's get it done. So it was a lot of excitement from the guys.
There seemingly has been a lot of excitement around Edmonton the last couple of free agencies, and you've been through this process a number of times in your career, Scoop. So how do you turn that excitement from a free agency perspective into actual results on the field?
Staying consistent, man, and being humble through this process, right? Every year to me is a prove it year, right? No matter what the X's and O's look like, the scheme, the whatever, is always a prove it year because at the end of the day, guys are coming in to try to take your job, right? And when you're competing against guys, like you got to have that type of mentality. So just all together, man, it's about being humble, right? And at the end of the day, when you're out there, it's a performance-based league, so you got to perform. And I think your mentality take you there most of the times.
You've played in the East Division and the West Division. A lot of people talk about the West Division being the tougher division from a competitive standpoint. Is it actually really like that on the field from your standpoint?
That's a great question, man. I don't really look into the East and West as being tougher or easier, because any given year, any other team can take over and run the league. So, I mean, it's really about the personnel. I do think that, there's differences from the West and the East as far as like running the ball, passing more in the East, running the ball more in the West. But at the end of the day, it's football. You're going to have to play the run and you're going to have to play the pass. So if you're successful in both, you'll be a great team.
There were four, I believe, of your former teammates that went to the nation's capital. And AJ Allen was telling me he was in some of their ears recruiting them. Were you doing some recruiting after you made your decision to go to Edmonton to try to get some of your former Rider teammates over there or perhaps some other players who were free agents?
Man, yes and no. I definitely had communications with the guys, during the process and just wanting to know. And they wanted to know my situation, man. And we had brief conversations on along those lines, man. But, when you kind of hear guys and, their situation, you either know or you don't know that they're going to potentially, be a teammate. So, that's the situation. You just kind of let guys make their decisions best for them. And if it works out to where we're on the same team, great, let's get it done. And if we can, then, we're going to do it. But, at the end of the day, it's about making the best decision for yourself and the best fit for yourself.
What's it going to be like for you, Scoop, to go from the team that won the championship, the Riders are defending Grey Cup champions, to the team that was last place, albeit seemingly with an arrow up in the West Division, and help with a potential turnaround?
Consistency. Even though that the Elks might have been last. Looking at it, they're not last just because they had a great turnaround. They started to, you know, pick their pieces together towards the end of the season. And you can see that, right? And, you know, I believe if they had a few more games, they could have easily made a push for the playoffs, but it was just a little too late. And just with the right adjustments and stuff, I know that, you know, we'll be a contender, if not a for sure, the Grey Cup, man.
Cody Fajardo did reference that and saying, hey, like, why can't we turn this thing around, especially last year late in the season? Edmonton beat Saskatchewan, the team that you were on, and ultimately the Riders went on to win the Grey Cup. So did that game stay with you through the process, the one I'm talking about in Edmonton where the Elks beat the Riders?
You know, looking back on that, we were very disappointed that we lost, but at any given, you know, Saturday, any team can win, no matter what the record is, because a lot of the games are decided within like a 3-point or 7-point margin. And it's all, anybody can be a better team that day. So it's about who's better that day. And that day that we lost to Edmonton, you know, they were the better team that day. And just watching them moving forward, that they were building confidence, that they were getting a lot of things done, right, on the offensive end, defense is coming together. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, it was just a little too late by the time they made that change. But with a lot of new pieces coming in, free agency, I expect a lot of things, right? And my expectations is Grey Cup, right? So if we're not talking about Grey Cup, what are we talking about? What are we doing? So, I mean, our expectations is Grey Cup.
You alluded to it in terms of pro football has small margins for winning and losing. How do you tilt that in Edmonton's favor in 2026?
Being consistent. Being consistent all around, in the back end, in the front end, offensively. We know, right, that the game is won and lost within the trenches. So, and I'm putting the pressure on the defensive line. I'm putting the pressure on the offensive line that, you know, we're going to be physical and we're going to play hard, but we're going to play together. So, I mean, once we build that camaraderie, come training camp, we start, you know, the saying, the bullets start flying and it gets real, man, we're going to be strong. We're going to be a very strong team.
Will you have any extra motivation scoop going against Saskatchewan?
They're going to see me and they're going to feel me. That's all I got to say for them.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.